The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. Opening statements are underway in a Benghazi terror attack hearing on Capitol Hill. Daryl Issa speaking right now. We're going to be talking more about this later in the show. Jason, tell you what, why don't you just sneak in there a little bit and let's just hear what Issa is saying about this. Go ahead.
Outside of the administration. And all of which, and I repeat, all of which should have been turned over more than a year and a half ago when the committee launched its investigation. Some of these documents, which were brought to light only days ago through a FOIA request by an organization known as Judicial Watch, show a direct White House role outside. I'm going to repeat this. The documents from Judicial Watch's FOIA, which were pursuant to our request more than a year and a half ago, show a direct White House role outside of talking points prepared by the intelligence community. The White House produced the talking points that Ambassador Rice used, not the intelligence community. In pushing the false narrative that a YouTube video was responsible for the deaths of four brave Americans. It is disturbing and perhaps criminal that these documents, the documents like these, were hidden by the Obama administration from Congress and the public alike, particularly after Secretary Kerry pledged cooperation and the President himself told the American people in November of 2012 that, quote, every bit of information we have on Benghazi has been provided. This committee's job is to get to the facts and to the truth. I, for one, will continue to chip away at this until we get the whole truth. The Americans who lost their lives in Benghazi, those who were wounded, and the American people deserve nothing less. So today's hearing is critical for what our witnesses will give us, and I welcome you and I thank you for being here.
And that's Daryl Issa. The top intel official is set to testify. The House Oversight Committee holding hearings again on the Benghazi terror attack. This follows an amazing exchange during the White House press briefing yesterday between reporter Jonathan Carl and White House flack Baghdad Jay Carney, where he tried to deny everything Daryl Issa just said in framing the email that Judicial Watch, in a Freedom of Information Act request, got from the White House, which the White House did not include in the documents it turned over concerning the Benghazi attack. I have a ton to say about this. I don't want to jump into it right now. And now Elijah Cummings. Should we listen to his drivel for a moment? Yeah, go ahead.
Strongly supported helping armed rebels in their efforts to overthrow Gaddafi. For example, in April 2011, Senator John McCain traveled to Libya and met with the rebels, after which he proclaimed, and I quote, "They are my heroes." During a national television appearance on July 3rd, 2011, Senator McCain warned that allowing Gaddafi to remain in power would be far more dangerous to the United States than the alternative. He stated, and I quote, "This notion
what's this got to do with Benghazi?
Who comes after or what comes after Gaddafi ignores that if Gaddafi stays in power, it is then a direct threat to our national security," end of quote. During a television appearance on April 24 of 2011, Senator Lindsey Graham agreed that taking the fight directly to Gaddafi would protect our national
security. I see what he's
setting
up. All right.
He stated, and I quote, "You cannot protect our vital national security interests if Gaddafi stays, end of quote. He also stated, and I quote, the focus should now be to cut the head off of the snake off, end of quote. As the revolution grew stronger, Gaddafi embarked on a brutal crackdown. And on March 17, 2011, he threatened his own people and warned that he would show them, quote, no mercy, end of quote. The next day, President Obama explained to the world why the United States was joining the effort to remove Gaddafi, and he said this, the world has watched events unfold in Libya with hope and alarm. Last month, protesters took to the streets across the country to demand their universal rights and a government that is accountable to them and responsive to their
aspirations. All right, wherever he's going, this is just taking too long, and he's obviously trying to change the subject here to one degree, to the broader issue, and that's what Carney did yesterday. We'll get to that later in the show. I will say this. The email that Judicial Watch got its hands on is explosive. The mainstream media, for the most part, until Jonathan Karl got into an incredible exchange, and we'll play portions of it for you later in the show with Jay Carney. My God, if this isn't a smoking gun, and Republicans can't be afraid, they can't be kowtowed by the media, who will still try to do the nothing to see here, citizens, move along. But as I said, probably after 10 o'clock, we'll get to that. Although we have an interview after 10 o'clock that's a pretty good one, too. We have a very busy day on the show today. So I want to start here. I have been telling you that Walmart isn't going away, and they plan, although they have not shared it with me, and they haven't, they still haven't shared with me a revised plan for a new building. A new store downtown after their previous plan was shot down by city council. Now, I had been getting some inklings as to what the new plan might look like. Here's the one thing I was pretty certain of, that it was going to continue to be a 150,000 square foot supercenter, that they are simply not going to bend on that. From the little snippets that we are hearing, they have been meeting with council members, and apparently Monday, the mayor gets his full look at it, that it's retooled apparently to fit in more with the Broadway District motif. Let me just describe what Fox 11 was told by Alderman Joe Moore. It's nothing like what you've seen, and according to the Walmart reps today, they've done nothing like this before. This is one of a kind. This is something special and unique. One of a kind. Moore says, I'm just saying, it's a little redundant there. Moore says the company's new rendering still call for a more than 150,000 square foot store, with two-thirds of it marked off for general merchandise. However, Moore says the building is now red brick with windows on the upper half, making it appear to be two stories. Moore says Walmart went for a more historic look. He says the renderings made him think of the Platten building on Broadway. It tied in a lot more with the existing buildings, even the Titletown Brewery. It matches with what is there quite a bit more, said Moore. Walmart smells money here, right? That's why they're looking at this, said Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Let me stop there. Yes, Jim, they smell money. Why? Because the store is needed. Those of you who oppose this, why do you think they are fighting tooth and nail on this? Why do you think they don't just take their ball and go home? Because they see a hand and glove fit with this store. Now, I will tell you right now, it's obvious to me what Walmart is doing here. They're not going to give up on the big box concept, but what they're going to do is make this fit in so tightly with the Broadway District design that to reject it, it's going to have to be nakedly obvious why it's being rejected, and that it's an anti-Walmart move, not an anti-not-good-fit move. That's just that load of crap is going to be exposed for what it is, a load of crap. That's what they're trying to do here. Schmidt says he'll get his first look at the new plans on Monday. He told Fox 11, "We still don't feel like the best land use is one superstore of 150,000 square feet with 600 parking stalls on 15 acres of downtown property." Why? I'll ask again. Why? Here's something that aldermen who support this store are going to have to beat to death and then keep beating it. They have to pull out the numbers that I shared with you a while back of the public investment that went into the other downtown developments where Jim Schmidt has planted his flag and calling them victories. This needs to be exposed. This is so easy. There's been a reshuffling of the deck at City Council. Now, one of the people who hasn't started getting vocal about this is newly reelected former and current council member Guy Zima. Guy, at this point, I'm guessing, is still doing his homework. But if there is a block of aldermen who understand that you have a developer that will create jobs, fill a retail need, and contrary to what those on Broadway say, attract, not kill, peripheral business, they need to make the case. This is not a project that that a lot of public dollars are going to have to be poured into, like the other projects that Jim Schmidt crows about that actually involve a lot of public money. Chris Weary said on WTAQ's morning show this morning, rare is it that you have a developer that's not coming with their hand out. Walmart isn't. It's just the reality. It's as though Jim has hunkered down on this and there's just all evidence to the contrary. He's never going to admit this is a good thing for downtown Green Bay. But I applaud Walmart for not giving up and trying to make it very, very, very difficult for those who would say, no, this has got nothing to do with Walmart. This has got nothing to do with Walmart. It's not that it's Walmart. When you go to that No Walmart on Broadway Facebook page and it's post after post after post after post of anti-Walmart screed. By the way, Scott Cooper Williams, unwittingly perhaps to himself, revealed how he feels on this in a post on Chris Weary's personal Facebook page. It's clear how he feels about it, even if he doesn't realize he made it clear. He did. And this is a guy that reports on it for the paper? I mean, I am rowing alone on this. I really am. And one show can only do so much. But it'll be interesting to see if they do manage to kill this, what happens to that property? What happens to the $3 million, which Jim Schmidt can't wait to, the debt he can't wait to assume? Why? This is as upside down as anything I have ever seen. You have a developer, and that's what Walmart is here, a developer. Look how desperately they want this store. What the hell does that tell you? What does it tell you? You don't think they do market research? I've said that 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it 1,000 times. You have another opportunity for the city of Green Bay not to be forced out of a development by a mob mentality. And yes, that's what I'm going to call the opponents, a mob mentality. And they viciously attack anyone, and Chris Weary getting pilloried right now on Facebook. When they say crap about me, I just read it on the air. So I don't know if they say it anymore. I don't care. and they purport to be the authorities on downtown development. I have covered downtown developments in communities around Wisconsin for years. When I think of all the debates that I have covered in all the different cities, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, even smaller communities, about TIF district monies being tied up in a single project, about this handout and that handout, it is beyond my imagination that a proposal with the economic boost that this would be for Green Bay, with no handouts, would be this controversial, is mind-boggling to me. We'll see if the different makeup of the council makes a difference here. And I will tell you, the official gadfly of Jim Schmidt, Guy Zima, if he starts putting his voice to this, it's going to get very interesting. We'll see what happens. And I will be very curious to see the renderings. I have not seen them. And for those of you who think I'm in the tank for Walmart, they haven't even brought me in the loop on this. I wonder why, actually. But whatever. That's their decision. But I will continue to be a voice for them. Because they're right on this. This development is right for Green Bay. One other one quickly in the minute or so that I have left here. Wow, better late than never, I guess. The local paper's finally done an opinion piece on the video of an officer arrest in Green Bay that some think was excessive. They finally say, an investigation, calm heads need to prevail. Well, that took long enough. It finally took that threat video from someone who purports to be a well-known group, Anonymous, which is anyone, I love that, a well-known group called Anonymous. Even that in itself is pretty funny. It might not be the Anonymous. That's just kind of funny. Anyway, they finally ask for people to use a little restraint here. Gee, that took them long enough. It's 2 weeks ago tomorrow that, well, Saturday, actually, 2 weeks over the weekend, that the incident happened. Finally. Hey, you want to just wait until everything is figured out here? Well, welcome to the party, pal. All right, coming up after 9, is it ever okay to cheer because someone has died? A controversial Wisconsin political figure is in the middle of that. We'll see what you think. At 9:06, it's 8:56.
They're saying that I'm just mad and contrarian.